Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Alex, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Alex.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent.
Wonderful. I'm excited to be here tonight.
I'm excited to be here, too.
I can feel the energy moving around in my body. It's great.
What are we talking about, Michael?
What's that?
What are we talking about?
Tonight, I'd love to hear about the voices and what's going on with them.
The voices? Oh, you mean the cartoon?
Well, yes, the cartoon. And it's, as you know, it's really helpful for me to know what the voices are talking to me about all the time also.
That's true, yeah. It's good to get a perspective on them for sure.
Yes.
So I won't be able to speak for you personally about what the voices are up to, but I have a guess. But anyway, but what they're up to in the cartoon right now is they are temporarily at bay.
Temporarily at bay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because for folks who have been following along with the cartoon, Lou, the main character for a while now, feels like a long time, has been trying to get to the cushion. And then he's finally got to the cushion, and he's learning how to stay on the cushion. But he's still having a little bit of a rough go with the voices talking him out of sitting in meditation.
Uh-huh.
And so trying to figure out what we're going to do next.
Great. Great. And can you give a little bigger perspective for people who might be new to this or hearing it for the first time, you know, what the cartoon is and it's trying to depict and all that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So the cartoon in general is, it features, the voices in our heads, or at least, a representation of them in a way that portrays what they're up to, the ways they try to fool us, the things they say, in all sorts of different manner that come up. And mainly used as a way to see what they're up to and to get a glimpse of how they work and like that pretty much.
Yes, for me, what's really helpful about it is it's a visual representation of what I perceive is going on within me.
Yeah.
And to see that out there on the page gives me a bit of distance and perspective from it, and with the good humor of practice, you know, really helps me to disidentify.
Yeah, well, that's if there was a goal with the cartoon at all, it was to have that kind of distancing effect, to kind of get a sense of this is what's going on. You know, it's hard for me to talk about it actually in this way because it's to give away too much. It's really autobiographical in a way. I can only assume that other people have this sort of thing going on for them, but this whole thing with what the voices are up to and what they're doing, I've just been pretty much writing down like whatever occurs to me that I've heard before or go through before, and I hope that if anyone can relate to it, then that's what, you know, that's the hope that the voices cartoons attempts to do, make.
Yes, and as you know from practice and I experience from practice, once we begin talking about this in a room full of people or in an email class, it becomes pretty obvious very quickly that we're all going through the same stuff.
Yeah, there's good evidence that's true, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, which to me speaks to why it has this universal appeal.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
My hope is that folks can relate to it in a way that doesn't require any kind of additional information or explanation.
Yes.
You know, like you don't have to know a whole lot of terminology to get it. That this is kind of like, oh, I've been through this before. You know, I've wanted to take on something like painting a picture or, you know, learning how to do something, anything that I've always wanted to do. And the first thing that comes up is, the voices that will come in with anything they can to try to either stop me how to do it, stop me from doing it, comment on how I'm doing it, which will influence the fact that I'm not doing it. I end up not doing it, then they will comment on how I should be doing it. So, you know, it's just this vicious circle with them. And I'm hoping that, you know, with the cartoon that they get exposed a little bit.
Yes, yes. And as you were talking, I was kind of going through my head following the episodes of Lou as he begins to establish his practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where, you know, he gets this idea that he's going to sit in meditation, and every time he tries to go for it, you know, it ends up at the bottom of his list because the voices talk it into going at that bottom of his list.
Yes.
Or whatever will work, basically.
Yes, because the dumb show is about to come on.
Exactly, the dumb show is about to come on. Yeah, you can't miss the dumb show.
Yeah, especially with the bonbons and the chips and all that.
Chippy chips, yeah, you can't. You know, it's a good deal there. There's a whole package that gets, you know, and then, you know, waking up in the morning to sit in meditation, that didn't seem like a great idea at some point either, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way it was working there for a while.
Yes, yes. And it seems to be that's the way it is with many of us.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And when we're doing practice, we get to see how that happens, and we get to see how that happens, and that illuminates it for us, at least it illuminates it for me, that, wow, this is what's going on. I have been operating under this false information, these lies.
Yes.
I've been basically taking on the guidance and suggestion of these make-believe fictitious characters in my head that I mistakenly believe is me.
And Alex, I just realized that just as we have archives of open air, we have archives of the voices.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They go on and on up until, I forget how far, probably 2008. That's
yeah.
How long the Voice Busters have been around. So.
Yeah. So people can go in there and see Lou's transformation.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's funny. Yeah, that's true. We haven't talked so much about, like, where Lou has ended up. So Lou is in his current phase, he has taken on the practice to heart, realized that this is the way that he's going to overcome the voices. Then he overcomes them by becoming Awareness Junkie Man. And
Say that name again because I'm not sure everybody caught that.
Awareness Junkie Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what Lou has transformed into.
That's right. He's become the superhero Awareness Junkie Man. And simply stating that he is using every technique available to him, the practices offered, everything from twist ties to practice games like Practice Everywhere. And there are more to come, of course. That's what the Voice Busters series will start to. And that's been alluded to by number one has just been released. There's going to be a whole series of practice games and techniques that folks can take on because his latest jag is that you just can't stuff too many voice busting techniques in a life worth living.
Yes, yes, I love that line.
It's so true.
That was
it's
great.
So true because, you know, we can either spend our time filling it up with the voices or we can spend our time filling it up with stuff that supports our heart.
Yeah.
And part of that is constantly putting reminders up in front of ourselves.
Exactly.
That point that way.
Yes. And Alex, I was excited recently when I learned about Awareness Junkie Man's practice cave.
Practice what?
Practice cave, where he goes
cave.
To
yes.
Focus on his practice and have support. That was really fun, and I thought I could use one of those in my house.
Everybody could use a practice cave.
Yes.
And it's a practice utility belt, too.
Yes.
Where you have all your techniques stowed just in case you need them in emergency.
Yes, yes, yes. Alex, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me, Michael. It's been my pleasure.
Okay. Good night.
Have a great show.
We will.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. What a guy that awareness junkie man is, huh?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
He's a fun, fun guy. You know, I'm always saying how much fun practice is, and, you know, I get a lot of skeptical looks, of course. But he's proof positive that you get out of something what you put into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great.
Good. A lot of energy.
It's a sunny day. I have a lot of energy and feel the life force, and that's a good thing.
Oh,
it means I'm
California.
Still alive.
Sun shines and we think life is worth living. We get a few clouds and a few drops of rain and we start questioning that assumption.
Yes. And we have a few callers here.
Good. Let's talk to them. No announcements?
Oh, you are so helpful. Thank you, Sherry.
Good.
We were just talking about the voices, and a new one has just been posted on the website. And as I mentioned, archives there also, so people can follow along with Lou's adventures. Also, tomorrow, Wednesday, February 17th, is the last day to register for the at-home working meditation retreat, which is this Saturday, February 20th.
Ah.
And the next one after that will be about a month later on March 27th.
Right. And then I think they're going to come to some kind of a screeching halt, although I'm not sure about that.
Oh.
Yeah. I think as the – well, I don't know. Never mind. Don't quote me.
Okay.
I could just be repeating erroneous rumors.
I'm going to scratch that from the record.
Scratch that from your list. Yeah. Yeah.
And for people who are on the East Coast, two opportunities to practice with you, Sherry. One of which is the week-long retreat in North Carolina during the first weekend in May. And also, you'll be leading a weekend workshop at Yogaville.
That is correct.
Yes.
Two extremely beautiful places.
So I've heard.
One,
I read that
one longer, one shorter.
Yes, one longer and one shorter. And I've heard a lot of wonderful things and great pictures from Green Cove.
Oh, yeah, it's a stunner. It is a stunner.
And I also saw that the Green Cove Retreat has a weekend workshop built in at the end of it as
yeah.
an optional plan.
That's worth reading about. It's a whole action-packed thing that they've got going on there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not just good food, yoga, and beautiful views.
As if that's not enough.
Right.
Good. Shall we go to our callers?
Sure. Thank you.
First call, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm doing great.
Good.
I've been battling all sorts of conditioning, and I have all sorts of opportunities.
Wow. So are you... you've got your own little superhero suit on there?
I feel like I should.
I just
purchased my plane tickets to come to the month long.
Uh-huh.
So since it's a done deal now, conditioning is threatening me on all sides.
Yeah. Now let's check in here. What was it doing while you were figuring all of this out? Because we heard the other half of this story recently.
From
half who's going to stay home and keep the family together while you do this. So now, what are the voices talking to you about as you're making these plans?
Oh, back and forth. It's been a real ping pong game from when we started talking about it last summer. I want to go. Oh, you can't go. Oh my gosh, what a horrible mom you would be leaving your kids for a month. You just can't do it. There's no way. But every time it comes back to my heart, I want to.
Mm-hmm. I heard that loud and clear, the difference between I want to and then no you.
You, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's all you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of that. A lot of throwing up everything about why I can't.
And there's this, there's that.
You've got this responsibility. Yeah.
So then you sent in your money and you bought your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And now?
Yeah, signing up for the retreat wasn't quite enough to get it going because, you know, I can always cancel. You know, until whatever, the end of February, right? It's not
now,
a done deal.
Now you've involved the airlines.
But now I have the airline ticket, and that is non-refundable. So I'm just, yeah. And there was a lot of panic at first. There was just full-out panic, and then, but I wasn't, kind of went unconscious right away, wasn't aware that that might have been what the problem was, and had a really tough night with the kids, and everybody was upset, and I was upset, and didn't really see it until the next morning, and I thought, wow, I wonder if that was because I signed up. I mean, I actually got the ticket.
Yeah.
So it probably was.
It's so good to see, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, after a while.
Well, then I can.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's just that then I can know it's not me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I can see it.
Yeah. And, you know, after a while in practice, and I say this to you because I think you already know it, that kind of reaction starts being the trigger to cause us to look at what the heck is going on. You know, there's it, before practice or before any kind of awareness training or what, however we want to talk about it, not just our practice, but in anything people are doing to try to wake up, there's just the belief that this is all that life is and it's really true and it's real and that's just how it is and I just have to whatever. But once we've been paying attention for a while, we realize when that kind of storm gets kicked up, it's like, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? And which is a wonderful transition because the very thing that's supposed to throw us into intense misery and suffering starts being the thing that causes us to disidentify.
Yeah, and I've been able to be doing that a little more quickly as I practice.
Yep.
So, you know, the storm will happen, and yeah, I'm in it, and I believe it, and but then maybe the next day I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Or sometimes when I'm in it, I know I'm in it.
Yeah.
I can say, okay, I know I'm identified. I know this is happening. I know this is conditioning. I know this isn't real. It doesn't necessarily bring me right out of it.
That's right.
But I know.
It doesn't bring you out of it in a way that changes in anything. I mean, it
no,
doesn't.
The feelings are the same.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And yet you are disidentified from it because the very fact that you know it's going on means that you're not in it in the same way. Because when we're really in it, there is no conversation about I'm really in it. You know, in fact, if somebody says, you know, you're really identified, they're in danger. Right? Because our response, our reaction to them is, no, I am not identified. This is really happening. And besides, I hate you because you don't understand me. But when we're that a little bit out of it, we can know, okay, don't talk to me because I'm not that disidentified, but I know I'm crazy. So there, I'm not completely crazy.
Yeah, and I've been able to be there more often than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I know I'm in it. I'm not really happy, but at least I know it.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily any better to be around, but at least I can see it.
Yeah, and I have a glimmer that it's going to pass, which is tremendously helpful.
Yeah. I know it's not me, and I know it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, that's huge.
And it usually passes faster than it used to.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of the reason that it passes faster than it used to is that you're accepting it. Because even though we don't like it, you know, it's not my favorite way to be, but I accept that that's what's going on with me. And that really helps us to move quickly through it.
Well, I hadn't even thought about it that way. you know, because one of my stories is that I have a hard time accepting things. So it's neat to see that, that maybe I actually am accepting without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, why would I have to have a story about this if it were true?
Yeah.
That's
interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, that's one we're never supposed to catch on to. You know, things that are true, things that are real, we don't have to be told over and over and over and over and over again, because it's just so. I mean, you don't have to have somebody tell you that you need to walk on your feet. Okay?
Right.
Because it's just the way it is. So the things that I'm always fascinated by, the things that people have to be absolutely brainwashed into accepting. Well, why? Why? Well, because they're not true. They're not real. And we have to be so deeply battered with them for us to finally give up and say, okay, I believe that. All right, I'll do that. I'll go along with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see a lot of that, and I can see how, I've been uncovering a whole bunch of beliefs lately of things that I had never questioned, but had to be told over and over and over in my mind that this is so, because they're not true.
Because
I've just now been uncovering more, more things, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's just.
Yeah, and it's.
Yeah, it's astounding. it's
yeah, like, I love it. I love coming up with these things.
Yeah.
And I love seeing it.
It's like we're creatures in a science fiction movie. You know, all those movies about this is, you know, we're really in this bizarre reality where we're, you know, it's all true. We're brainwashed into believing that all of these things are happening and they're really not happening, like that we should devote ourselves to making money so that we can pay taxes, so that we can save up for the time when we're too old to do anything that would be remotely enjoyable, but we can afford all of the drugs that we need to be kept slightly comatose until we finally die of something way past the time when it should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not science fiction, huh?
Well, I think we're led to believe that that is real. And that's what the story often is.
Yeah. And you
know, all of that is real.
I've been particularly looking at that because of this email class
mm-hmm.
I'm doing now, and just reading so many people, just response after response after response that people write in about how trapped they are in these lives that they hate, that are horrible, and yet they have been utterly conditioned to believe that they are without choice. And it's sad. And it's kind of unbelievable. You know, it's one of those, if it's that bad, just get in the car and drive away. No, find a new town. Change your name. Become a different person. Anything rather than being trapped in a life that they hate. I think about Japan. You know, just go to Tahiti and start painting.
Well, it seems like it's a bit opposite for me. The story that I'm told is, you know, yeah, everything's bad, you should go. And yet when I really look at it, nothing's bad. It's just that I'm believing the story.
Yep, that's right. Nothing is bad. That's an excellent point. I would say that is probably true with 99% of the people who are writing in. There really actually isn't anything wrong. They're just being made miserable over what is perceived as what is. But if there's any sign that they're going to make a change, then the story goes over to the opposite. No, you can't do that. Absolutely,
oh, yeah.
You can't do that.
Right. Which is what happened to me signing up for the month long. Oh, I really want to do this. Wouldn't it be great if I could do that someday? Oh, wow. And then I sign up and it's, oh, well, this is really stupid.
Yeah, this
you
is
know,
not so
you
great.
Can't leave your life for a month. Are you kidding? Other people could do it, but not you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
you.
So I'm looking forward to it. I can't
yeah.
wait.
Yeah.
So
very exciting.
All right.
And here's
well,
the thing.
Thank you, Lynn.
Here's the thing that they know. You will never be the same.
Mm.
You will never be the same. That's what those voices know. That's what they're terrified of. You'll find a level, a new, an even bigger, wider, deeper level of freedom and be that much more able to say no to their control. So they are terrified.
Mm.
And they should be.
That sounds wonderful.
Yep.
I just can't wait.
Right.
Can't wait.
All right, take care.
All right, well, we'll see you then, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and then we'll be right back.
All right, thanks.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated. Purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have many more callers here.
All right, thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Poppy from England.
Hey, Poppy, how are you?
Hi, I'm all right, thanks.
Great. Are you folks out of the snow yet?
Oh, well, not quite, actually. We woke up this morning, and it was completely white again.
Wow,
but it has melted a bit, but it just seems
really...
to keep on snowing.
You've really had it this year, haven't you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, how is life in the snow? Or outside
well.
The snow?
Yes, it's very good. I just noticed something today that was quite interesting. For a while I've been doing ballet.
Oh.
I just started for the first time a few months ago. And the whole thing has been a really good opportunity for practice, really, because firstly, I recently turned 18, and of course ballet is usually something you think of as people doing since they're like five or something.
Yeah.
So I had to overcome that kind of, you know, I'm too old for ballet kind of
uh-huh.
thing. And
happy birthday,
and,
by the way.
Oh, thank you. all kinds of things. Like, ballet is completely different to what I usually do. And then there's, like, looking at yourself in a huge mirror for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And all
yeah.
of that kind of thing.
Yep.
But I've carried on doing it.
Can I
I've been
something?
Really pleased with myself for that.
Poppy, can I ask you
yeah?
something?
What, mm-hmm.
I'm curious about your process about that. So there's all of that stuff that could convince a person not to do this or not to continue, and
mm-hmm.
yet you've continued, and I'm just curious to know sort of why or, you know, how what kind of decision-making process you went through to continue?
Well, there were a few times when I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I've got to stop. I really recognized at the times when it was good. I really, really, really enjoyed myself, and I felt really proud of myself, and it was just all good feeling. So I tried to remember that,
uh-huh.
And I kept on thinking about how it wasn't true that it was too late for me to start, and it wasn't true that I'm terrible at it, and there's no hope, and that was just, you know, lies, really.
Uh-huh. So you were able to, so it was kind of a workshop where you would keep coming back to an experience that you knew to be true rather than going with the voices that would try to talk you out of doing this thing that you actually enjoy.
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. Thank you.
I'm
curious.
So I achieved all of that, and that was really great and everything, but all the way from the beginning, I'd always said, because there's like all the grades that you can do and the exams and everything, and from the beginning I'd said, no, I'm just not doing the exam, because I was going with that college at the moment is quite intense, and I didn't want to add the stress of that by doing an exam for ballet. So I've been saying that for a really long time. But today I realized that actually I'm not really that bothered about the adding stress at college, and I'm not sure that it actually would, because I find the ballet quite a good kind of distraction, really. But I did realize actually I'm just really, really scared of doing the exam. And it's like I've been using the college thing as uh-huh. an excuse. And I just thought, oh, if it's actually because I'm really scared of it, and there's kind of part of me that does want to do it, then maybe that means that I should do it.
Uh-huh. So there's somebody who wants to, somebody who is really afraid to, and somebody says, but you should.
Yes.
And they're all kind of battling it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have a sense of who the part of you is who's so afraid?
I don't know. I think it's somebody who kind of really wants to be perfect all the time.
Uh-huh.
And who says, like if there's going to be something that you know that you're not going to be perfect at, then just don't do it, because then you can carry on being perfect because you won't be doing anything wrong because you're not trying.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can only guess, look around at the adult world and see where that approach gets people.
Yeah.
Yeah, your life gets really, really small really fast.
Yeah.
And so how old do you think she is, kind of emotionally?
Because
my sense is she's fairly young.
Yes, probably.
Uh-huh.
Maybe about 8.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, at that age where all that information kind of comes together. You get rewarded for being perfect. You get rewarded. You get all the good stuff if you're doing the things that please people and do them well. And so just focus on that and don't do anything else. Even if you're interested in it, you know, even if it would really light you up or make you happy, or just stick with the things that get you the goodies. So, well, that's kind of sad to leave her there, huh?
Yeah, it is.
So, do you have a part of you who knows Well, of course you do. The part of you who knows that that's not true, that life isn't about just focusing on the things that are going to get rewarded and leaving, cutting off all of the parts of yourself that might be less than picture
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about getting those two together for a little conversation?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And really, you know, that little girl doesn't have to do that, does she? She doesn't have to be the one to take the exam.
No. More of a big puppy.
Yeah, a grown-up really
yeah.
ought to be doing it, huh?
Yeah.
So here's my projection.
Mm-hmm.
It's all well and good to have, you know, the grown-up part of you is going to go in there and do this thing. But then you get to the door and that person runs off and
yeah.
leaves the little kid there to have to do the thing.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it feels?
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens to a lot of us in a lot of situations. And these little kids get stuck trying to do all of these grown-up things that they really shouldn't be trying to do.
Yeah. So, what do you reckon is the best kind of route to take?
Well, you've done journaling with this kind of thing in the past, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So maybe truly to get a little conversation started between that little girl and your mentor?
Yes.
You know, the older, wiser part of you?
Yeah.
And because I remember that there was someone in there who wants to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem like she would be a perfect candidate to do it.
Yeah.
Especially with the help of the mentor.
Yeah.
Think?
Yeah.
And maybe talk to the little girl. Let her know you understand that she's afraid and you're not going to make her do it. She could come along just to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to support the one who wants to do it in doing it. And the mentor is going to support the one who wants to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe a reminder to everybody that really this is an awareness practice retreat or an
yeah.
awareness practice workshop. That's what's
that's
really going on.
Like that. Yeah.
It doesn't really have anything to do with dance. It has to do with being with yourself and taking care of yourself and being present and seeing what happens. And
yeah.
When's this all going to take place?
The exam.
Mm-hmm.
It's in about 3 weeks, I think. And just over 3 weeks.
Plenty
yeah.
of time to get ready, huh?
Yeah.
I have a friend who is, not anymore, she was a professional ice skater.
Yeah.
And she told me once that the best ice skaters in the world we, the public, would never see.
Yeah.
Because they can't perform.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when they're alone with other skaters, with their coaches, whatever, on the ice practicing, they're absolutely brilliant. But
yeah.
as soon as there's a judge or an audience or anything like that, they fall apart.
Wow.
And so they can't have a career.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with their skill, because they're brilliant at what they do. But that
that
lack of ability to take care of that little part of them who gets so scared ruins their chances.
Gosh. Wow, that is sad.
Mm-hmm. So good to find that little person. We all have at least one of those. Good to find that little person and learn to take care of her or him, depending on the case, so that we really are freed up to do whatever it is that we want to do.
Yeah.
And we have the right person to do the job.
Yeah.
All right. Well, will you let us know what happens?
Yes, definitely.
Good. Good. I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Poppy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Poppy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, one of the things I love about the show is getting to know people over time.
Yes.
Really encouraged me listening to Poppy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we said this before, watching people grow up
yes.
in some cases. I mean,
yes.
I hope we're all sort of growing up spiritually and
yes.
in our awareness practice, but, you know, when we get to talk to people and they're little kids and then they become adults, that's a,
yes.
that's a fun way to see the practice grow.
It is fun.
Yeah.
And we have many more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd calling from Canada.
Hey, Todd.
Hey,
Hi.
Sherry.
How you
Michael.
Doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
What's I'm doing good.
On?
I'm celebrating today. It's a celebration day.
Yay. What are we celebrating today besides today?
Yes, today. Day 30, Making a Change for Good retreat.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Day 30.
Can you tell us what the content of this one was?
I can. I aspire to listen first thing in the morning when I wake up, my 15-minute guidance appointment with you at Santa Sabina.
Uh-huh.
And to listen to it last thing before I go to sleep.
Wow.
And I was looking in my journal, my Adventures in Awareness. I write on every day following the following day looking at it. And I missed it twice.
Well, that is this downright impressive.
Wow. It was so fun because, you know, that was 60 days and you and I were together for 58 of it, you know, 58 appointments. So,
yeah.
You know, and conditioning talking about it twice, and it was a process that I'm very familiar with, and I'm so glad I saw it. And I saw the yammering, and it was always around fatigue, and you're just too tired to do it.
Yeah.
And half the time I saw the conversation, I went ahead and did it. And just, I looked at my journal, I just was curious, because I made that Adventures of Awareness as a real part of just seeing my commitment was met. And I only got talked out twice, and then 58 for 60, which is really neat to see my deepening of awareness.
Good numbers.
Good numbers.
Yeah.
Good numbers.
It's so interesting, isn't it? I actually just went through something similar.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that there was something that I was doing, and I stopped doing it, you know, for a really good reason.
Yeah.
And then afterwards went, what? what? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't make that decision. And it's just so
right.
interesting to watch how how all of that works.
Yeah. Yeah, and just as you said that has happened to me too. I'm like, wow, I'm not doing that anymore, and I didn't make a conscious decision not to do that.
Yeah.
And
the worst part is when it seems like I did make a conscious decision.
Yeah.
But I forgot to check in on who is making that conscious decision.
Yes. Yeah. Who was there for it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great too. That's great too. So it's lots of fun because the encouragement today is what are we picking for tomorrow's 30-day retreat? Because I love back-to-backs, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just do them. I just keep doing them. Ever since I got the book about a year ago, I've done them back-to-back. I just keep doing them.
Yeah. And yeah. It's wonderful to have that kind of structure, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Ego wants us to do something new.
Yeah.
But I find that doing something new just really doesn't serve me. What actually serves, for the reason that we were just talking about, you know, because if I can get talked into, oh, you know, you need something new, something different, something more interesting, something to kind of mix things up a little bit. Yeah, that's the first step into the whole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but
exactly.
If I, this is what I do. I wake up in the morning and this is what I do. And I do this and this and this and this and this. And then I get to the point where, you know, then the day is however the day is. Either I'm in meetings or I have emails or I have calls or whatever it is that that consists of. And, of course, that varies from day to day. But the things that I do for my awareness practice do not vary.
Yes, that is my experience. And that has really, we talked about it in our guidance interview, but I have a fairly structured awareness practice routine, and I rarely vary from it, and it has lessened my suffering. We talked about the tipping point, and because I aspire and keep those practice reminders in front of me, I'm sitting right actually in front of my Living Beyond Karma poster that I put all my reminders on, and I actually sometimes eat in front of it or reminders of mind fleeting, but we talked about in the guidance thing is that I have a tipping point now where I actually suffer less when I keep my practice reminders in front of me constantly.
Yes.
And we talked about practice first.
I'm right there. The difference that it makes when the focus is on practice all the time. It's,
yes.
I wish I had, or you had, or we had, a better or more compelling way to communicate that to people, because the information people are getting from ego that is a horrible way to live is just huge. And if people could just get it, that it really, honest to Buddha, is true, what you're focused on is the life that you have. Whatever you're focused on is what you get. And so if we're focused on something that makes us feel good and makes us happy and inspires us, we're really here and alive and present, well, that's the life we're going to have.
That's my experience.
Yeah.
And you've maybe, over the last 4 years of me being involved in this practice, has seen a little transformation in myself. Maybe experienced a little bit of that in talking and being at retreats and being participating in Sangha. And I'm having so much fun with practice everywhere, because I've now looked at my phone, and as those texts come in, I really didn't use my phone, the capabilities of it, and I realized I could set up a reminder every 30 minutes with a little note. So now, for the 12 hours that I use it, I have every 30 minutes, I have 24 reminders that I build on the text that you send in, and I sort of paraphrase them, and then I always sign the mentor. So I just love practice reminders, and I just love hearing people share new ones, because I pick them up, and I love plagiarism in this practice, because it's totally permitted. And I just, and every 30 minutes, and in addition to yours, I get a reminder on my phone. It vibrates, and I pick it up, and I read it, and then it's always signed the mentor.
Great.
It's so much fun. And then, you know, so every 30 minutes, I mean, in addition to yours, I'm brought back to here now, why I practice, why I'm replacing ego-centered karma conditioning with conscious compassion awareness. And it's so much fun. Every 30 minutes,
that.
I get that reminder.
I love that. I hope there are a lot of people taking that in. Set up those messages to themselves. And doing the messages like that, I mean, I always call them the tweets, even though
the tweets,
they come in all sorts of ways to people. But I love so much doing it for the same reasons that we're talking about, because I have to have my attention on what are the things that really bring me back to here, inspire me, make me happy, light me up, however you want to talk about it. And for the time that I'm creating those, that's the experience that I'm having. And then they come in on my phone, and I have the same experience, receiving them.
You get to relive them,
You get to relive them. But I love that idea of then using those as kind of a little launch pad for all of the other things that occur. That's really good. Some point, I'm going to ask people, I don't know, maybe we'll create a website or something where people can send all of theirs in you know, the ones that they've made up and that really work for them.
Yeah.
Then people can just go there and just read them.
Yeah.
Put them on.
I've got a couple of dozen I've made up on my own in relationship to yours that I would love to post and send in and have.
Okay. We'll do that then. We'll make
that
a priority to do that.
That is so fun. And what I love about this practice is sharing all these practice reminders. And I've stole Alex's lanyard with the little plastic cards with the reminders around the neck.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big practice of mine for the last 6 months. And currently, just I want to share it because it's a great reminder when I listen to the archives, is I have the mindful eating recitation that we have at the monastery.
Yeah.
Eating is a concrete way of expressing compassion. I read that before every meal, so that's fun.
Uh-huh.
And then on the opposite side of that, I have the two pictures of my vulnerable Africa children sponsors, the two little children I'm sponsoring.
Uh-huh.
Every month, and I wear those little faces around my neck, and I get to see them, every 20, 30 minutes, and I remind myself how really, really fortunate, and it just brings up gratitude of how much I have, and I'm able to share that with those that don't have as much.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on the other card, I have Transform Your Life. Every day, and I write that out, and I get to read that, as many times as I can a day. And then the flip side of that card, I have my Making a Change for Good, the day, your encouragement of what day we're on, and the assignment.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm full tilt here.
You are a support machine.
Well, it's just because it just lights my life up. It lights me up.
And
my experience is the more, and this is all your guidance, the more we put it in front of us, Sherry, the more we're reminded, it's the experience of you writing the tweets. It's the experience of me rereading Transform Your Life 10 times a day.
Yeah.
When I'm reading it, I'm in that experience.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole secret of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you're doing it, that's the experience you're having. That's the experience we want to have.
Yeah.
So do the thing constantly that gives you the experience that you want to have. It's
right.
It's kind of reasonable once you get the hang of it.
Yeah, and when I'm looking in the eyes of Evelyn and Elijah, my little African sponsees, I'm experiencing gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm experiencing generosity. I'm experiencing sangha.
Yeah.
Love. I'm experiencing love. That's my experience.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, and the amount of love you have is the amount of love you give. So you got a lot.
Got a lot. Well, I
Thank
always express a lot of gratitude on these calls because that's my experience, and I'm so grateful for this practice. It has changed my life so dramatically, so amazingly. I mean, so enjoying the Bizarre Tapestry email class. I'm so enjoying it. I love writing my movie. It's such a killjoy. It would never even make the worst 10 Razzies list. It never would be nominated for an Oscar. It's such a bummer movie. The director and the editor and the writers are all EKC, and they're just, they're just, it's so
bad.
Fun to see it, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I can see it on stage, and I'm really in the audience. I'm so disciplined. I can really step back and see really how miserable and bad it is. It's a movie I would never even recommend to my best friends. So.
Yeah, that movie, they don't even throw it at 2 a.m.
No, it's not even
on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, on the cable networks, they wouldn't even make it. So, but I'm having so much fun with that, Sherry. Thanks again for all the support that you give us and all the ideas that you throw out that we're able to incorporate into Sangha. And I just so appreciate the monastery and the monks and all the rest, and it supports me so much. And you know what? Just one last thing.
Uh-huh.
Because I just so loved Lisa and your conversation and Poppy's as well. But, yes, it is so true. In my experience, I was never the same after last year's deepening practice retreat.
Yeah.
I was never the same.
Yeah, it's a life changer.
It's a life changer.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, I have been accepted for a second round.
Well, that's great.
I don't know how that happened. I just put it out to the universe, and I can't believe I've got accepted. And I haven't booked my plane tickets yet, so I haven't got conditioning, squawking about that.
Uh-huh.
But it's
soon.
It's soon, but it's squawking that, how dare you do 2 years in a row? How dare you leave your family for a month? How dare you?
Uh-huh.
How selfish can you be? And it's the we know that's the absolute opposite. How supportive and how loving and how kind to myself and to my family. That I'm here and I'm present and I'm available for them instead of being living in hell of conditioning.
Yeah.
Where I'm
exactly
not
exactly so.
For them.
And then we finally get to the point in practice where our families are saying, now have you signed up for that retreat?
Well, it's so funny, Sherry, we talked this in guidance, but my wife said to me the other day, when is that There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat? When is that coming up again?
Uh-huh.
She signed up for it 3 times, I told you, and she got talked out of it 3 times. But she brought it up on her awareness, and I never said a thing, because I've been talking about my retreats. And she said to me the other night, literally 2 nights ago, said, when is There's Nothing Wrong With You coming up? And I said, oh, it's on the website, dear. I encourage you to look for it. And she goes, yeah, I really got to make it to that. And I said, well, I encourage you. I'll support you. So
that's all I'm saying.
And that's what you said, is just support and encourage them the best you can, but they have to do it for themselves. They have to come to that point where they want it for themselves.
Yeah,
we can't want it for them.
No, we can want it for them, but
yeah, we can want it
only
for them,
from the bleachers.
We can't do it for them.
Yeah.
Is what I kind of meant to say.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, well, it's great. Well, it's great talking to you, and
great talking to you, Todd.
To be in touch, and we'll see you in a month.
All right. Good
night, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, can you say awareness junkie man?
he would be the prototype, huh? He could be Lou's mentor for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Those were a lot of good suggestions, too.
A lot of them.
Yeah, I really like that messages from the mentor. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Many more callers here, and we have about 12 minutes left.
We'll
do
our best.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Linda, and I'm from Alabama.
Hey, Linda.
Hey.
What's going on?
Not much. It's the first time I ever called, gotten you on the phone. So, but I was calling about, my work situation, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Is my main thing. There's lots of things, but that's the one I chose to talk about today. So, I've got this great job. It's, I make really good money, and I only have to work 6 days a month. And, unfortunately, it's not in my town, so it's an hour and a half away, so I have to drive here, and I have to, like, spend the night when I come, and so it takes me away from home a lot, and it's kind of like it's all good, and I hate it,
uh-huh.
or the voices, you know, continuously tell me how horrible it is, and
what are they complaining about? What do they not? It sounds like a pretty great gig, actually.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It really is. I have a lot of fatigue, even if I'm not working. I have a lot of fatigue, and when I come, I have to, like, get up at 5 and drive here, and you know, then by the time I get through with the day, you know, I live in a little bitty town where there's absolutely nothing to do, and I get to come to a fairly decent sized town where there's stuff to do. So when I get off work, I kind of want to do stuff, but by then I'm so exhausted, I just want to come back to the hotel room and sleep. And then the other thing is, I guess, that the night before, like 2 days before, I start dreading it, and then the night before, I can't sleep, and then that's part of the reason I'm so tired the next day. And it's, I don't know, it just goes on and on.
They're just torturing you, aren't they?
Yes.
Do you hate the work?
No, I wouldn't say I hate it. It is sometimes pretty boring. You know, it's I'm an expert witness for Social Security hearing, so it's like I'm sitting in a courtroom and I hear. I mean, in some ways, it's interesting too. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, it's. On the one hand, I want to do something that helps people, and I keep telling myself that I am helping people, but you know, then sometimes I don't feel like I am at all.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If you must be fairly disidentified from this whole thing because you called into the radio show. So, starting from that basic assumption, how much of it do you think is real? And how much of it is just the voices trying to wreck your life?
I think it's mostly the voices because it's been this way my whole life. Everything I do, I end up hating it.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, I think there's probably 35-40% of it might be true because it's not really what I signed on to do with my life. But, you know, I just think I should be able to be okay with it. And then if I want to change to something else, I could do it from there because every time I change, it's still messed up.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Good. 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 That's pretty clear then, isn't it? Because, you know, when you look at it, I mean, just the way you've presented it, you work 6 days a month?
Pretty much. I mean, that's not entirely. This job, I work 6 days. I have other jobs, but this job I work 6 days a month. It's my best paying. It's the thing that makes my income for me.
Yeah, makes your income for you. You get to leave that podunk little place where there's nothing to do. You get to go to the big city where there's, you know, where there's some life, which I heard somebody enjoys.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a bookstore, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there are things that parts of you really enjoy about that, and yet you're so harangued by these voices trying to make the whole thing miserable that eventually they wear you down. Right?
That's exactly right.
Like that's the way it's happened in the past. They eventually wear you down. You go do something else,
right.
And then they do the same thing to you.
Right, that's exactly right.
Okay, I have a suggestion for you. It's called a "There's Nothing Wrong with You" retreat.
Right,
you've heard of it.
Read the book.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I read the book. That's how I got started with you guys reading that book.
Okay, I'm going to suggest
this is it.
in your not too far distant future a plane trip to California. Because, I feel pretty clear, and it sounds like you feel pretty clear, that's really all that's going on. You have a perfectly fine life, and you're not allowed to enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
you
between
know,
now and then, though.
Pardon me? Well, you know.
So between now and then.
Yeah, and you can certainly do the kinds of things that I imagine you're already doing. You know, you can do your very level best to counteract this, you know, counteract the voices. When they start talking to you, you turn your attention back to, here are a couple of my favorites, okay? Just start making a list of all the things you're grateful for. Every time you hear the voices kick in with meh, 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 just say, you know what I love about my life? I really love the fact that blah, 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 blah. Then, you know, if you run down, you can say, and, you know, it's really beautiful here. I love the, I don't know if you were listening, but I was talking to a fellow couple of weeks ago, who struggles with depression, and we've talked for years about depression because that's my background too. And he was talking about being out for a walk and as part of his, you know, get the energy moving thing, and just talking about how much he talking out loud, you know, I love that tree. I love those birds.
Okay.
All right? And you just
yeah.
get your attention on everything that you enjoy, that you love, that you appreciate about your life, and you don't allow any airtime at all for those haranguing, nagging voices.
Okay.
Yeah? And, you know,
I will do that.
Todd was just talking about that a little bit. You know, well, I mean, he clearly he's
an awareness junkie.
He is an awareness junkie. Yeah, he and I share that affliction, that wonderful affliction of just wanting to have every single second of your life filled with what is true and what is so, so that there's no space at all. There's no space at all for what isn't true. And the reality is, I can tell already, you know, you're a really fine human being. You have a good life, and you're intelligent. You have lots of things available to you. There's no reason for you not to enjoy every single second of it.
So true.
Yeah. But what you've got to do
yeah.
is, of course, stop letting them capture your attention, bring it back to you,
right.
and focus it on what you have and what you want.
Okay.
Yeah?
I'm grateful for. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a practice. They have a history of being able to get through to you and suck the life force out of you. And so now what you're doing, you know, it's like an arm wrestling thing. You're going to bring your attention back from them and give it all to you.
Okay. Okay. Say it again?
You can do it.
I can do it, yeah. I can do it.
And then.
I can, okay.
And then come and see us.
So, okay, I'll do that. It just real quick, is there any way to recognize the real voice? I mean, you know, it's like I get the whole voices thing, but I don't always know whether the voice I'm hearing is the, you know, like the bad voices or if it's me or if.
Okay, that's the subtlest point of all. Okay, that
mm-hmm.
is just the subtlest point of all. But here's the I've never actually heard myself say this before. I kind of like it. The real voice, the one that you're looking for, is the one that you are speaking. In other words,
right now,
when you walk out whenever, you know, you hang up the phone. And you say,
right.
You say, you know, I have a great life, and I'm going to devote myself to enjoying it. I'm going to appreciate all of the things that I have instead of giving my attention to negativity and hatefulness and dissatisfaction. You know, I'm going to focus on everything that's good in my life because that is the best. Okay, can you picture it?
Right. Yeah. Mhm.
That's the real voice. That's the real voice.
Voice, okay.
And
okay.
Yeah, even though, I mean, there's no doubt that it's you, because you're the one who's talking.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the voices that talk to you inside your head, okay,
right.
almost always they're going to be calling you, okay?
Okay.
They range from... just kind of mildly unpleasant to downright hateful. Okay?
Right.
We can write all of those off. After a while of doing this, you will become increasingly aware of kind of a gentle knowing or a gentle encouragement. I talk about it as sort of if somebody had their hand just really lightly on your back, you know, just you can tell that they're there. They're not pushing you in any direction, but they're supporting you in the direction you're going in. Can you picture that?
Okay.
Yeah. And
right.
that's the feeling that you'll have of that intuitive knowing that guides you in life. But
okay.
Anybody that's carrying on a conversation with you, that's not it.
Right. Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, and stay in touch, okay? We don't get to talk to a lot of people from Alabama for some reason.
Yeah, there's not very many Buddhists in Alabama, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
At least I don't know very many.
Yeah, so stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that accent is just charming.
It is charming. I tell you, between Poppy and
yeah.
Alabama, we've had, and let's not forget Todd and Lisa. We've had a lot of charm tonight.
We've had a lot of charm tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So big thanks to our many callers and our many listeners, and to everybody who makes this possible.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.